Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. When you call my name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees, I wanna take you there in the midnight hour.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. New York City-based pianist Scott Bradley has become a bit of a pop sensation, earning millions of views on YouTube in his series of music videos that show him, with his group, Postmodern Jukebox, performing reworked versions of 21st century pop hits in a variety of vintage styles, like swing, jazz, bluegrass, doo-wop, Motown, and ragtime. Scott Bradley and Postmodern Jukebox will perform this coming Saturday night at 8 at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York. Scott Bradley, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks, Sarah.
So I have to tell you, the first time I heard the Lord Song Royals was seeing your YouTube video of it with Puddles the Clown.
I do get that a lot. In fact, I get a lot of people telling me that, you know, they heard our version before they saw the video of it, and then when they saw the video and realized it was a 7-foot clown, they're even more blown away. Kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I saw a friend had posted it on a different friend's Facebook page, and as it was playing, I was like, I'm sure that I should know what this is. The first thing can't be this awesome, like the sad voiced clown. So then I looked into it and was like, oh, it's, yeah, like you said, a teenage girl sings this song.
You know, it's a great song for both a teenage girl to sing or a giant clown.
Absolutely.
Sticking to that.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings. I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your time. Tigers on a gold leash, we don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee.
How did you begin creating your jazz, ragtime, and swing versions of pop songs?
You know, in some ways, kind of out of necessity. I had moved to New York City, and I was a jazz pianist. And despite what you might have heard about the glamorous lives of jazz pianists, it wasn't all that. It was cracked up to be. It was a lot of just trying to find, cocktail hour gigs where you're treated as background music, and things like that. And It's tough because there's so many talented jazz pianists in New York City. I had this affinity for these older styles of music. When I was growing up, I used to love to play ragtime. That was the stuff that got me into jazz. And from there, the other styles like doo-wop and Motown and things like that, I'm just kind of an old soul, I guess. I started to kind of experiment with taking songs that were current that, most jazz musicians wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, the songs that are on Billboard now. Just to see what I could do, imagined if those songs were written in different eras. And that's kind of how Postmodern Jukebox came about. And the whole idea of Postmodern Jukebox is just putting today's hits in the time machine and just reimagining them in different eras.
How did you become an old soul? How did you first discover ragtime? And why do you think it is that it spoke to you and you liked it and jazz more than pop music while you were growing up?
I don't know. I guess I started taking piano lessons that were classical lessons, and I wasn't really into it. Just classical wasn't really my thing. But then I heard the piece Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin, and that had kind of elements of all different genres. That had a bit of classical influence. It had some Debussy and things, and it also had some ragtime influences and jazz influences. From there, I was like, I really like this sound. I was about 12 years old, and you know, I was probably the only person in my town that really liked that kind of music, like ragtime and everything. But I just got into it, I guess, mostly because I was playing it. It was just really fun stuff to play. And me as a kid, I just wanted to play things that were fast and loud and stuff like that. And it was just very brash music, so that appealed to me. Improvisation with its lack of rules kind of appealed to me at that age. So I guess it just came that way. So there's a bit of nostalgia, I think, that I'm always going to have for those older styles of music.
Did you have any kind of difficulty relating to your peers since this was the music you enjoyed?
Well, I mean, definitely, you know, because everybody else was listening to, you know, grunge rock or, you know, rap at this time. So, you know, initially, I mean, there wasn't really anybody that really shared my interest in that type of music for a long time. But I wanted to actually kind of split the difference by, even in high school, I was making, you know, ragtime versions of gangster rap, like Notorious B.I.G. and make it into a ragtime song. That was kind of my first forays into, you know, the cross-genre cover, I guess.
And then as you began circulating in jazz circles in New York City, you found your people of a shared heart and mind.
Definitely. I mean, that's the great thing about New York City. There's just so much talent everywhere. There's just amazing musicians. I mean, I found a whole scene of people that love traditional jazz and love those older styles of music, which was cool. And at first, sometimes I'd kind of explain the idea, and they'd be like, okay, I don't really know these pop songs, but, you know, we'll give it a try. And sometimes it's actually better that they don't, that they're not familiar with the original song, because then it's even more authentic, you know, to the period that we're doing.
I'm coming to the show at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, and I'm so looking forward to it. But my boyfriend and I said to each other, we're not going to know a lot of the pop songs if they're like current top whatever. We're just going to enjoy your versions.
Right, right. I get that actually a lot. Or sometimes people will see us in concert and they'll hear all these songs, and then maybe they'll hear like a snippet of it at the gym or at, like, you know, the local convenience store or something, or playing in a mall or something, and they'll hear, you know, the original version. They'll be, wait a minute, I think I heard that song that you guys play.
Right.
Well, you know, to be fair, we're covering it.
How do you select the songs that you'll adapt, and then how does that reworking process roll out? How do you know which exact style you'll do? Where do you get your ideas?
You know, it's difficult to pinpoint an exact process, I guess, just, you know, because it's a creative thing. In general, we have I have a bias towards, you know, songs that are very familiar to a lot of people, and that's why we go through a lot of the songs that are at the top of the charts, because the postmodern jukebox effect becomes a little more pronounced when, you know, you already know the song. What I'll do is usually, like, look for big contrasts, you know, in style and lyrics. I mean, for instance, the Miley Cyrus We Can't Stop cover, that was after her performance at the VMAs, was getting a lot of people talking, was kind of controversial.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the most least controversial point in music history, you know, the 1950s, squeaky clean doo-wop, you know, like this whole idyllic nuclear family sound, I guess.
Sure, bubblegum.
So, yeah, so we decided to transform into that sound just because there was such a big contrast between how the material was being used.
How do you decide to work with, how do you recruit the people that you'll play with, the people that are in Postmodern Jukebox? I know you have different featured vocalists that come in and out. They aren't always there.
You know, it's always like kind of different. Most of them are just kind of happen by chance. You know, you kind of meet somebody and decide to try a cover. Like, you know, I'll hear awesome singers all the time, you know, especially in New York City. So sometimes it's just about me reaching out and being like, hey, you know, like, why don't we try doing a cover together? I got a song that I think would be really good for you. I mean, that kind of happened with, or other times something, it's just dumb luck. Like our most recent cover, All About That Bass, we did with a really talented young singer named Kate Davis, who happens to be a really amazing upright bassist. And, you know, we had talked right before I left for Los Angeles to do a residency out there. We had talked about doing a cover. And I was just, like, thinking one day, I was like, well, you know, what's a good song that we could cover? What really shows off her in such a great light? And All About That Bass was the number one song in America, or it was coming up to be the number one song in America. I'm like, that's perfect.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass. Oh.
as you know.
Sometimes things like that happens where the song actually suggests the singer in a way. Other times we had one singer that's on tour with us right now, Yvonne Smith, who's just a phenomenal vocalist. He had recorded his own version of Thrift Shop, you know, the cover that we had done, one of our early covers, and tweeted it at me. And I was just so impressed by it that I just invited him to do a video, and he did the song Rude with us, and it was very successful. So, yeah, I guess there's lots of different ways that happens.
You also were tapped to write a few covers for BioShock Infinite, which is a video game. Could you have imagined when you started doing this that you would be sourced for that kind of project?
That actually predates Postmodern Jukebox when I was working on that game. But that was when they had found one of my YouTube videos. It was one where I took all these 80s songs and I made them into ragtime. Mm-hmm. It's one of my early viral videos.
Hello, my ragtime 80s.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So you did your research. You know your stuff. So I had actually put that online, and that had went viral, and that was kind of one of my early things. And they stumbled across it, and they're like, you know, we'd really like to kind of explore this concept in the game, you know, this whole idea of taking things that are familiar or specifically in the 80s and kind of reimagining it in a much earlier era. So, you know, that was a really exciting thing. That was such a fun process for me to work on, and that's actually how I met Mickey Braden, the singer that was on Sweet Child of Mine and Story of My Life and Living on a Prayer. She's been in a bunch of our videos. Yeah, that was a great experience. I worked with a great music supervisor named Jim Bonney on that. I was really thrilled to see also all the critical acclaim that the game received afterwards. And I don't really play video games myself. I did try playing a little bit of that game just to hear all that stuff and the whole soundtrack, not even just my stuff, but, you know, the whole soundtrack is excellent.
Scott Bradley and Postmodern Jukebox will perform at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York at 8 p.m. on Saturday. That's this coming Saturday, the 25th of October. Scott, I can't wait for the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy touring schedule this week to speak with me.
Absolutely. So excited.
Once again, Scott Bradley and Postmodern Jukebox will be at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall this Saturday, October 25th at 8 p.m. For more information, visit troymusichall.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.